Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Long time listener and supporter of you because you tell it like it is.
Here's our Royals insider, Josh Fournier.
That's right. Monday at 9, we get to dive into the mind of Josh Fournier. Boy, Vern, I'm going to tell you what, man. Let me tell you something here, Vern. Went out to the game on Friday night, had myself one hell of a time.
Oh, thanks for stopping by and saying hi.
Yeah, you're already gone. But last time I tried that, you ghosted me.
Yeah, I did big time.
100%, if we're being honest. Mm-hmm. But what I don't want
to... It's his ballpark, Dusty. That's you're fair. Just living in it. Yeah.
Welcome to my house. No, I do want to bring this up. It has nothing to do with the Royals. But I want to ask you, like, where would this collapse rank for you if Cleveland wins the Central Division?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, my God. Huge.
To me, it's... You know, like the, 55 Brooklyn Dodgers and the shout heard around the world with Bobby Thompson. This, you know, I have a lot of family in Michigan, so when I talk to them, it's, you know, I've heard their panic for weeks and I've laughed at it. No way Detroit and A.J. Hinch are really going to gag this thing away. Yeah, I can't really think of many other collapses that would... Because they could go from having the division in their back pocket for months... to join in the Royals in Cabo in a week.
Yeah.
I mean, just completely out of it. It's wild.
It is. I mean, you just have to look at the last 10. Cleveland's 9-1 in their last 10. Detroit's 1-9. That's how you lose a 9.5 game lead, Vern.
And I think it, you know, this isn't in support or to knock Matt Quatrero, but it does go to show you just how much or at times how little a manager matters. Last year, A.J. Hinch was... a magician with the way that he was using his bullpen and getting the boys going there in Motown. If they gag this away, what does it say about him, a former World Series winning manager? Does it say anything? I think it's the latest reflection of, at times, believe it or not, we put a little bit too much weight on the skipper.
Yeah, so, but honestly, does he get fired if they collapse? Like, you have to do something up there if Detroit, you know, poops this away.
Yeah, I don't know I wouldn't think you would fire A.J. Hinch.
Right.
You know, the general manager, I don't know what they do, but I know those guys inside the clubhouse are going to have one of the longest off seasons of all time.
Be brutal. So where are we with the Royals right now? Why can't we just find standings that have the elimination number so we all exactly know what's going on? It's like anytime you see anything, nobody includes the Royals and stuff like they're out of it, but they're not yet.
No, and it's wild. And, you know, Andy Rogers of MLB.com, we're sitting in the dugout and – you know, she's a real journalist. I'm just an idiot on the radio. And she comes up to me and she says, hey, if you read my article, it's wrong. The magic number is not two. They cannot be eliminated today because, and she explains it to me, you know, it's if the Royals and Rangers and Red Sox all end up with the three-way tie for that final wild card spots, the Royals would win it because it's the cumulative record against those two teams, and the Royals just dominated the Rangers. So their record, it's very confusing, but I mean we all know it's still not going to happen. But you know what? Shoot, man. Now I sound like I'm talking to my family members a few weeks ago, telling them that the Detroit Tigers had this thing wrapped up.
Yeah.
So. The way that I'm looking at it is the next time the Royals lose, it's over.
It's over. So, but they can't control their own destiny. I even read something like even if they win out, they have to have something else happen, right?
Almost every team in front of them needs to lose out.
Okay.
If that's even possible, because they all play each other down the stretch.
Right.
But no, it's not go 6-0 and you're in. No, it's 6-0 and a ton of help.
Yeah, so next year they have their leadoff hitter figured out. They're just going to let Carter Jensen lead off next year to start opening day?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No. I would still expect and hope to see Michael Garcia in that leadoff spot, followed by Bobby, followed by Vinny. And then it gets interesting after that, maybe what kind of moves they make. But Carter Jensen, certainly impressive. We could talk about the small sample size all you want, but hitting 300 in the big leagues for 2 weeks is hitting 300 in the big leagues for 2 weeks. Yeah. 11 RBI in his first 14 games. And, you know, the takeaway yesterday with his big bases loaded, two out, two run single is the moment. I don't want to say that it's yet to be too big for him because they haven't really been in a major moment, right? It's not a true playoff race, but he's at least ready for it. It doesn't seem as if he's wide-eyed in any facet, and this really dates back to spring training when you watch the way that he worked. And now I'm excited to see what they do coming up this offseason, whether it's Jack Caglione offensively and defensively out there in right field and Carter Jensen offensively and defensively behind the dish. It's just a gigantic offseason for those twin 22-year-olds. You know, this, to me, is the next 4 months will show you, in my opinion. When I get to spring training, Bob, when you're out there in spring training next year, mm-hmm. you lay eyes on Carter Jensen, you lay eyes on Jack Caglione, I think you're going to understand what type of player they're going to be, because this offseason's going to show what they're willing to sacrifice. Are they willing to work harder than anybody else? Because that's what Bobby does, that's what Salvi does, and these guys have the talent to be among the game's best if they want it. So big offseason for the both of them if they want to be everyday players, and I fully expect those two with Michael and Bobby, Vinny and Salvi to be in the lineup, you know, six out of every seven games.
You know, I was talking to some folks around the organization about the handoff from Salvi to Carter Jensen, and I said, it's kind of like the Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes handoff. And they're like, huh, I never really thought of it that way. But somebody did tell me, Salvi said, just give me the kid and I'll take care of him. And so that's kind of what you want to hear out of your veteran leaders as you're going into the offseason for next year is kind of, I don't want to call it the handoff year, but you pick up Salvi's option. Maybe you sign him to a 2-year extension. I know the cat wants to play till he's 40, but my God. But you can kind of utilize him as the Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes role, can't you?
100%. And the point that you're making also speaks so very well on Carter Jensen because now, Salvi's been around 14 years. Yes, he's always smiling. Yes, he's a great teammate and a good guy. But he's not one to talk in hyperbole about a player. He's not going to heap praise on everyone just because you're my teammate. Bobby, he did really quick. But that's because of the work ethic that he saw from Bobby Witt Jr. Freddie Fermini took him under his wing. And as we all saw, it's understandable because of the work ethic, the commitment. And again, Salvi's the guy that sits at his locker every single spring training and says, if you're not playing this game to get to the Hall of Fame and win World Series, well, I don't really want to be with you. You're not my type of person if being the greatest isn't your goal. That's why he gets along with Aroldis Chapman, right? That's why those two future Hall of Famers have been rolling together for a decade. That's Mahomes, that's Kelsey, that's the greats. He sees it in Bobby. He acknowledges the work ethic in Freddie Fermin, and he's already been quoted saying that exactly what you're talking about, Bob. Mm-hmm. Carter is the future. He is the Kansas City Royals moving forward. So for him to heap praise so effusively on a 22-year-old with 2 weeks in the show, that's why I'm so excited to lay eyes on this kid next spring to see just what he could be. Because, Dusty, back to your point, you know, I don't believe that he's the leadoff hitter, but Michael, Carter, Bobby, Vinny, as your 1-4. I wouldn't be opposed to that. Not saying that's how you roll it out on opening day. But second half of next season, we'll see if Carter's able to climb his way to the top three of the lineup consistently.
Vern, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again next Monday. I believe that'll be the final time with you on our show because the season will be completely over and we'll be waiting for those spring training calls with the birds and the bees. Something like that in the background.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I just appreciate you guys having me on, man. Thanks
a lot.
Of
course. Absolutely. Take care, Vern. We love you as always.
All right, buddy.